Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the dead living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. The word of God for us, the people of God.
Thank you so much, Joe. So a couple of years ago, my wife was on a work trip to Asheville. And on this specific work trip, spouses were invited. So I came along on this work trip. I was the only husband who was a spouse on this trip, but it was a lot of fun. It was at the Omni Grove Park Inn. Has anyone ever been to this hotel? Okay, it's terrible. it's not. It's incredible. It's great. We toured the Biltmore. I have thoughts about the Biltmore. but you can always judge, my rule of thumb is you can always judge the quality of a hotel by the breakfast buffet. This is just my personal rule. It doesn't have to be yours. And this breakfast buffet was absolutely stellar. They had seafood omelets. They had a crepe station. They had eggs benedict. They had a fruit bar that was a mile long. And it had these incredible views of the mountains. I was in heaven in this giant room after room of just food. And just when I thought it couldn't get any better, I stumbled onto a table by a guy named Chef JR. You know, it was kind of like a staff pick situation at Blockbuster. And I was blown away at what Chef JR put out for us. He had Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Lucky Charms and mini waffles and bite-sized sausage burritos. And I am loading up on this plate from Chef JR. And I get back to the table and I'm eating like a poor man's son. And my wife is like, "Where'd you get all that food? I didn't even see any of that." And I'm like, "Chef JR, my guy. He's bringing the hits today. He's throwing 100 miles an hour. Mini waffles, CTC, bite-sized sausage burritos. Absolutely incredible." My wife, and I even explained to my wife that Chef JR had lowered the table a little bit so that we could have a full bird's eye view of everything he was offering, and I thought that was super accommodating. And my wife starts to laugh, and I'm like, "What's so funny?" Turns out Chef JR means Chef Junior, and I was eating off the kids' buffet the whole time. which I stand by, actually. I stand by that decision. And she asked me, though, "How could you forget that JR means Junior?" And I was like, "It's a good question, right? We see what we want to see. We remember what we want to remember. We forget what we want to forget. And sometimes we forget things that we don't even want to forget." In our story this morning, this group of women is coming to the tomb and they have forgotten something. Something that Jesus himself had told them. It's early morning in this story. The sun hasn't even fully come up yet. It's still dark outside. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, come to this tomb. They're walking quietly. They're carrying spices. It is not the joyful morning Easter scene that we are used to. There are no lilies. There's no chocolate bar. There's no live music. It is just grief. These women weren't coming to see a miracle. They were coming to tend to a dead body. Their world had fallen apart on Friday, and this Sunday morning they thought was just about saying goodbye. And they get to the tomb. The stone is rolled away. There's no body. They're perplexed. They're puzzled. They're wondering what to make out of this. And all of a sudden, in the tomb, two men appear with dazzling clothes, clothes glowing with light, the same type of clothes that Jesus is wearing at his transfiguration. And the women are scared, and I don't blame them. I'd be terrified too. They're scared, and they bow down. Their faces fall to the ground in a state of worship, in a state of awe. And these angels, these two angels, ask this question to the tops of the women's head: why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember what he told you when you were back in Galilee, that he had to be handed over to sinners. He had to be killed on a cross, and in 3 days, he would rise up. Remember. The women had forgotten his words, and so had the disciples. Multiple times in Luke's gospel up to this moment, Jesus tells them about what is going to happen. Two times in chapter 9, and then again a third time in chapter 18, he lays it out to them. He takes the 12 off to the side and says, listen carefully, we are on our way to Jerusalem. Everything written in the prophets about the Son of Man will take place. He will be handed over to the Romans, jeered at, ridiculed, and spit on. And then after giving him the third degree, they're going to kill him. And in 3 days, he will rise alive. But they didn't get it, Luke tells us. They could not make neither heads nor tails of what he was talking about. Or as another translation reads, they understood nothing about what he was saying. The women, the disciples, are only human, right? And so are we. We are a forgetful people. We know the story. We sing the songs. We believe in resurrection. But then life happens. Grief, sickness, anxiety, loneliness. And we forget, not because we don't care, but because we are human. My wife told me something recently. She said that the word for human in Arabic is derived from the word nasyan, which is the root word for forgetful. So in the Arabic language, to be human is to be forgetful. The words even sound the same. We forget our wallets. We forget our friends' birthdays. We forget that junior could mean JR, right? We also forget a lot of the great, beautiful, nice things that people say, but we hold on to the negative ones, right? Jesus says he's going to be killed and rise again, but all we hear is that he is going to die. And so we come to the tomb carrying spices, even on Easter morning. And maybe that's what you're carrying this morning. Maybe you're not carrying Easter joy this morning. Maybe that's not how you're coming to church. Maybe you were dragged here this morning. Maybe it felt like coming to the tomb for you in whatever situation you find yourself in life this morning. Maybe you haven't been here in a while and you were expecting to find God in the same place where you left him. Maybe you have forgotten, like we all do, that we worship a God of surprise. The women walk to the tomb in the dark of morning, and these angels, glowing in light, illuminate the darkness for them. The angels help these disciples of Jesus remember. And as the women remember Jesus' words, their fear dissipates. Their anxiety isn't mentioned anymore in this story. Confusion turns into confidence as they remember who Jesus is, their teacher, their mentor, their friend, their Messiah. Nancy Pittman writes of this moment with the women that their memory connects the empty tomb with the very human Jesus who ate and talked and eventually suffered and died. The women come into the tomb in the dark of morning and leave in the light of day. They remember who Jesus is and what Jesus said he would do, and they run to tell the others in the sunlight of Easter morning. They preach the first words of resurrection. He is not here, but has risen. God has raised Jesus from the dead. He said it was going to happen, and now it has. God's word is good. Jesus promised it, and God delivered. Death has died. Or as Bob Dylan puts it, death is not the end. When you're sad and when you're lonely and you haven't got a friend, just remember that death is not the end. When all that you've held sacred falls down and does not mend, just remember, death is not the end. Remember, death is not the end. And it's no wonder that this command to remember is so popular in the Bible, because we forget, right? Remember your God, O people of Israel. Remember my goodness. Remember my commandments. Or Jesus at the communion table with the body and blood, do this in remembrance of me. One of our young adults was in the hospital recently, and she was sick. And then she got sicker, and before she knew it, she was on oxygen and having this unexpected procedure done, and she's waiting on test results. They're trying to figure out what's going on. The doctors aren't really sure, and like the women in the story, she is scared. She's terrified, and she reached out and asked if I would bring communion to the hospital, which has never happened for me before, for a 28-year-old to reach out and say, can you bring communion to the hospital? And I want to read her text, because it's something only a 28-year-old would say. Do you have any blood of Christ lying around? I need the full body Lego rebuild approach. And I went to the hospital, and we took communion together, me, her, and her mother, the body and the blood. And when I said the words of Jesus, the words that I've said hundreds of times before at communion, do this in remembrance of me, it hit me different. This young adult, even though she is sick, even though she's terrified, even though she has doubts and feels alone, she asked for communion. She remembered to do this in remembrance of him. And she told me after the fact, when I asked about why she asked for communion, I was curious. She said that I asked for communion because a pastor once said to me that when we take communion, we take it with all the Christians who come before. And I was physically isolated in the hospital. I couldn't really have visitors. And I thought this is a way that I could spiritually connect with the other Christians who've gone before. And I saw firsthand how God remembers us. Not remembers us, but remembers us. Pulls us together in the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. One of the things that I love about being United Methodist and a part of the church in general is the community of it. We call this connectionalism in the Methodist Church, and this means that we don't have to remember resurrection alone. We remember together. Every time that we're at the communion table and we hear those words, this is my body broken for you. Every time that we baptize someone and we promise as a community of faith to nurture them in the ways of Christ. Every time we sing a song that reminds us of a truth in our souls that we had forgotten, we remember. And when we remember, resurrection becomes real. It's not just something that happened 2,000 years ago. It's something that's still happening today. Right, happening now. When you choose forgiveness, that's resurrection. When you keep going after heartbreak, that's resurrection. When you speak hope into somebody else's despair, that's resurrection. May we remember resurrection together. And even when we forget, even when we're human, even when we confuse JR with Junior, right? When we're convinced that death is going to have the final word, when we come to the tomb carrying spices, believing that new life isn't possible, may we then remember that God will help us remember. God will send the angels to help remind the women, and then we'll send the women to help remind the disciples. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. but has risen. Remember what he said to you. Amen.